Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I am Tim, and the topic of our podcast today is the curious case of Lawrence Joseph Bader. This is a mystery. It's an odd story. It's not your typical one that we would typically do, so it's something a little bit different, but we hope you enjoy it. But before we get into this story, I would like to introduce our panel. I'm joined by always as a very by the very lovely and talented, the pill popping, penis loving, Satan's dirty little secret, the very talented Brandy. Hi, Brandy. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Tim?
I am excellent. Do you have any shout outs today, Brandy?
I do have some shout outs. First of all, I want to note that I thought we were doing the curious case of Benjamin Button.
Oh,
I was confused. So I did all this
research,
crazy other research on my own.
Yeah. By the way, that was fiction.
Whatever. Where do you think we live half the time?
Okay. But please continue.
Have a few shout-outs. John Cunningham, Michael Birdsall, Larry, Cameron Stevens, Jeff Chestnut, Tommy Boomershine, and Sam Hildebrandt. I want to say thank you for listening to us. We appreciate all you all that you guys do.
Yes, we do. And I would like to introduce the third member of our panel, a man of renown.
And little talent.
A man of very little talent. A very little wiener. Best face.
That's what. I'm not saying he has a little wiener. I'm just saying nobody's come forward and said anything different.
Right. So, okay. We have to assume.
Well, look at his hands.
Yeah, he has small hands. He does have tiny hands.
And he's got baby feet.
Yes.
I wear a size 10 and a half shoe.
Oh, my gosh. You have baby feet.
That is children's size.
Yeah. For those of you wondering, those are kids' 10 and a half.
Yes. But that's okay, Colonel. We love you anyway. The very talented man of God, the Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman, the man who has more nicknames than anyone else in podcasting. We might not have as many listeners on other podcasts, but we have more nicknames than any other podcast.
We do. Now we add baby feet to that list.
Yes. So, what's up, baby feet?
Well, not much, Timmy. I'm just walking through my office, Timmy.
That would have to be difficult on your baby feet.
And
walking through your office. Your office is not that big.
Right.
I mean, it's not like you're in Trump Tower.
Palatial.
And I got attacked by a Pidgeotto, Timmy.
You did?
Yeah.
And what, is that a Pokemon?
It is, and you know how...
Is that the same one that raped that lady?
I know.
Yeah, it was breaking news today. A lady was raped by a Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. That was breaking news.
It's shocking.
On the National Enquirer front.
You know, you
always hope.
No means no.
And you always think it won't happen to you.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, it's some of these Pokemon have more power than you think.
We have to really talk about the fact that you're like 60 years old and playing this jackass game.
Well, I would like to. I think I told you guys this before. I tried to join Pokemon.
Just delete the app and redo it.
I downloaded the app. I thought, okay, I'm going to see what this is all about. And you have to put your age in. And I put my birthday and all that, but I forgot, and I didn't change the year of birth, and it said 2016. So, Mom, I'm going to need a
handwritten note.
From my mama. I'm going to need your permission before they will let me chase Pokemon.
And God willing, she will not give you permission to play this jackass.
Well, I just wanted to check
here's
it
the
out.
Funny thing is that Emmy, I believe, Waterfall, she geocaches. And I used to do a lot of geocaching, which is very fun. You know, mm-hmm. people put coordinates.
Now, you would just find shit on the ground. Geocaching.
No, I mean, I got the handheld. I got a high-tech model geocache. Because Renee liked to do it. The Mrs. Colonel liked to do it. And mm-hmm. as you know, I'm all about pleasing the Mrs. Colonel.
Yeah.
Because
you're such a disappointment in many ways.
In whatever way I could pleasure her, you know, I would... So anyway, this is very much like geocaching, and I tried it because I just want to show Logan I could do it. And then Tanner got the Mrs. Colonel into it, and she's making extra stops on her way to work to get to Poke refilling stations so she can get extra Pokeballs. She's insane, Timmy.
I'm waiting for the app to come out, the Prostitute Go. I can just walk around.
So you can just prostitute find her.
Yeah. That's what I need.
Here, your phone will blow up.
Yeah.
That's true.
Hooker find her. I want the app. Find her.
Yeah.
No.
But, hooker go.
Hooker hook up.
I do have some shout outs.
Okay.
Let's see. We got the two key members of the Colonel's team here. Nicola,
mm-hmm.
who keeps me out of jail. Shannon, who's probably going to end up putting me in jail because she handles all the money, and I'm not sure.
Hurry up with that, Shannon.
She's the master of the coin.
She is the coin master, and I know Shannon's doing a lot of traveling since she's been put in charge.
I hope no one's the hand.
Do what?
I said I hope nobody's the hand.
Let's see. We got, of course, the Tiffinator, Tiffany Bell.
Yes.
I like to call her the Tiffster or the Tiffinator.
Don't do that.
Yeah, she hasn't given me permission to do that, but I like it.
Yeah.
And Trish Hillbilly.
Trish Hillard.
She hasn't given me permission to. But you know what?
You're going
to
lose a lot of team members if you keep giving them.
No, you know what?
Half these aren't on his team.
I don't like this, Timmy. I don't like it.
You don't like what?
Okay. Now, Trish, originally from Loveland, right around here.
Right around Cincinnati.
Right around Cincinnati. Posted a picture the other night. Once again, Timmy, why she do this stuff? I don't know. She posted a picture.
Of?
Herself. And a friend. Very pretty friend.
Yeah?
At a Cardinals game, Timmy.
Oh, she's trying to get in your head.
With a Cardinals shirt.
Did she move to St. Louis?
Well, yeah, but that doesn't matter.
She's a Cardinals fan. It's okay.
No, that's not okay. Okay, so let's put that behind us. Let's see. Isla Hell, new listener. We're very glad to have you. Patty Wooten, glad to have you. Jennifer Siemens.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer is related, right? Isn't Jennifer... Jennifer's Linda Middleton's daughter, right?
I think so, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, Jennifer said she would sign up for Team Colonel, even though her mother was a backstabbing Linda Middleton, you traitorous Benedict Arnold.
She didn't say that.
Susan Angles, how you doing? Elise and... Well, I got you in. Donna Curran. You know, I like Donna because she's just got that really cute dog on her profile picture.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Celine, of course. Tasha Banks, who's a quite the cynical little girl.
I like Tasha.
I like
she's
Tasha. Very she's very
bright,
funny.
She's a very bright young lady.
Teresa Slavin. Christine. Bourgeois.
Yes.
Bree.
Bougie.
Stephanie Quick.
The Bay Area.
Yeah. Beverly, of course. My Lady Beverly.
Lady Beverly?
My Lady Beverly.
Who we promise we will have on this
podcast. We are going to have on this show.
Before we end the
If
podcast.
Nothing else, we're going to have a call-in because we got to hear. You know,
we'll do that before the show ends.
And I'll tell you what. Now, Lady Beverly, she got things going on because Lady Beverly and I are pretty good friends on Facebook.
Yeah.
And she, first of all, she got a pretty badass dog, Sully.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, her daughter, I don't know. Are you friends with Lady Beverly on Facebook? Her daughter, Alexander, just a beautiful girl. And just as smart as you're ever going to find.
She you don't want her with either one of your kids.
We're trying to arrange a marriage with Logan.
You don't want
right
that.
Now. Well, she probably doesn't want that, but it probably works.
Yeah, I'm thinking she
could
do better.
Yeah, well, now Logan's a handsome kid. Now don't downgrade
Logan's
my boy.
He's still your seed.
No,
there's
very
nothing
nice
actually
guy.
Nothing wrong with Logan. It's all the lineage.
We're
going
to have Logan on the show before
it's
we
the
baggage
behind
that comes
him.
In with
yeah.
Logan. But her husband, and you really need to check this out. Her husband is a crooner.
I know.
And I've
like
seen
Frank
some
Sinatra.
Of the clips. Yeah, I've seen some of the guy's clips, and he is just unbelievable.
Nice.
So, and
Lady Beverly has met Jerry Springer. I'm just saying.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not.
She was a hooker?
No, she met him. She didn't.
You know, Jerry Springer's from England. He was born in England.
Oh, was he?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Jerry Springer was also the former mayor of Cincinnati who paid a hooker with a check.
With a personal check that bounced.
That bounced.
Yeah. I think that was the problem. It bounced. Because
yeah.
at the time.
It bounced, yeah. Yeah.
You could do.
But he recovered. He got elected again.
COD. Mm-hmm.
And of course, the one, the only. Do I have to say a name, Devil?
No.
Do I have to say a name?
Yeah, because if you don't, you'll be mad.
Dottie Scott.
Yes.
The one and only Dottie Scott.
I have a few more, though, before we move on. But go ahead. Is that it?
I just wrapped mine up.
Yep.
Yay, Dottie. Okay. So, it was just my little brother, Casey. It was just his birthday.
Happy birthday, Casey.
So, he's getting old, and we're all very excited about that.
That he's getting old?
You Republican bastard. But go ahead.
He is.
Nothing wrong with Republicans.
Hmm?
There's nothing wrong
I didn't say there's something wrong with Republicans. I'm just talking about Casey in particular.
But anyway.
Well, I know, but you used it like it was a slur. Casey is a very intelligent guy.
It's a slur when I direct it toward Casey.
Yeah, okay.
So he is 36. He just turned 36.
And he looks young for 36. He really does.
My sister-in-law's birthday, his wife, was just Wednesday, so yesterday was her birthday.
Oh, great.
Birthday, Allison. Allison doesn't listen, but Allison follows the Facebook page.
All right. Let me
give her some love yesterday.
Okay, post it on there later.
I will see what I can do. And my husband's birthday.
Yes, Dave. When is that?
Dave's birthday is Saturday.
Okay. Happy birthday, Dave. We'll make note of it.
So I'm going to give him his new car.
Okay.
Are you for the day.
Are you going to give him sex?
No. I'm going to give him the car. Get off my ass.
You're going to give... what do you mean you're going to give him the car? Tell me
so
what that means.
So, what happened was I didn't want to go car shopping when we went car shopping because he was kind of snippy about it. And you're going to have to take the day off. We got to get this done. Even though I told him, go pick out the car that you want. Mama will buy it for you. Just go pick the car out that you want. Well, he couldn't do that.
Mama.
I had to go with him. So we go and he picks out this car and he really likes this car. He likes the way it, you know, he likes everything mm-hmm. about it. And so I test drove it and then I came back and we decided that we were going to purchase it. And I said, well, you know, I know we kind of picked this car out for you, but I drive further to work and.
So you drove it up his ass.
Yeah, so I'm the one that's been driving it
mm-hmm.
and telling him that it's, you know, I'm just going to take
car.
It. It's
yeah.
my car. I'm just going to go ahead and take it, even though you picked it out. So then the other day I told him that he can have his car. I want my Mazda back.
That's very generous of
it is very generous. And
giving him a car.
And I'm a giver. No, he didn't buy it. I bought it. Let's
you like the Mazda better.
I do like the Mazda better. I like the Mazda better.
So it's a win-win for you because you're acting like you're being kind because you're not really being kind.
I wasn't being kind. The reason I took it is because I didn't want to go fucking look at a car. I needed to work. And he got pissy about it. So that's what you get. Mess with the bull, you get the horns.
Are you going to give him sex?
Probably not.
Okay.
Maybe. Right. I don't know. It depends. Depends on,
well,
depends
happy
on
birthday,
if he's
Dave.
Not a peckerhead.
Does he listen?
You know, actually, he'll be working, so it won't matter.
Does he listen
men,
to the show?
Sometimes.
Happy birthday, Dave.
Happy birthday, Davey. Men pretty much only want one thing for the birthday.
Sex.
A particular kind.
No, that will not happen. He is going to be at work. that day, so...
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to be from you.
Yeah, I mean, send somebody
over. Well, if he wants some dirty flower sex from some whore...
It doesn't have to be a dirty flower sex.
You could get him a hook or go.
Mm-hmm. I could, I suppose. Maybe, I wonder if Amazon, if that's on the two-hour list for Amazon.
Okay, let's get on with the show. Yay. I like this story because it's quirky, like us.
You know, I gotta point out, though, and you seem to have cheered up just a little bit, but Timmy was a little bit nasty walking in here today. What's your problem?
I'm just having a day, that's all.
Because you was... And I don't...
sad.
I don't throw the word prick around, but, I mean, how would you describe
it? I come in, you guys are not prepared, you're eating peanut butter before you do a podcast.
What does that have to do? We're not eating it while we're on the podcast.
It's still... You're going to have, like... Your gums are going to get stuck.
Wait a minute.
We're not German Shepherds, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, and never mind that. And never mind all that, but who amongst us tends to get their gums stuck?
Okay, with me, it's part of my heritage. Are you going to...
You cannot use the hillbilly heritage.
I'm Appalachian. I was born Appalachian. Very, very...
Was you born a coal miner's daughter?
I think you were. Sissy.
I was.
Simmer down, sissy.
I was. Okay, let's get into the story.
Alrighty.
The curious case of Lawrence Benjamin Joseph Biden. Bader. Not Benjamin Biden. Okay, so this occurred back in the late 50s, early 60s. It's a weird mystery. It's not a serial killer, so for all of you who love serial killers, you know, we'll have one soon.
Sorry, Dottie.
Yeah, she'll be crushed. Lawrence Joseph Bader was born on August 19th, 1926, in Akron, Ohio. If you're not familiar with Akron,
it's the rubber capital of the world.
It is, and it's in northern Ohio.
And it's a shithole.
Well, I don't want to say that. I'm just saying
it's a shithole.
It really is.
And it's a shithole.
Okay. He was born the son of a prominent dentist, Dr. Stephen Bader, and his lovely wife, Charlotte.
Is he a master?
Was he Lord Bader or a Master Bader?
I don't know. Or he could have been Darth.
Good man.
Garth. They should have named him. How cool would it be to be named Garth Bader?
That would be nice.
But his name is Larry. Sorry.
Maybe that was Darth Vader's real name instead of Anakin, because that was just a dumb name.
So Larry had a pretty normal childhood.
Nobody beat him?
Nobody beat him. He didn't kill any animals. He didn't rape his sister or anything. He was from a well-to-do family. His father was a dentist. So he never really wanted for anything. His parents loved him. He grew up in what was considered, you know, upper middle class for Akron.
I think that means you got running water and...
I thought it meant they had a door on the outhouse.
Yeah. Well, you know, this was in the 50s. So, I mean, you know, it was probably booming in Akron at the time with all the industry and stuff that was up there. Larry played sports. He was particularly fond of archery, in which he excelled. He was introduced to that sport by his uncle. And he was also he loved the outdoors, and he was an avid fisherman and swimmer. Very good swimmer. He was on the high school swimming team. He attended St. Sebastian grade school and then St. Vincent High School. But then the war broke out. He was very popular in high school, although he was known to be a little shy and reserved. He did well in school and was considered an above average student. He was considered a little impatient, so I don't know if he had, you know, attention deficit disorder or anything. Probably today, maybe, that he would have been diagnosed with that. But he was well-liked by his teachers. He had a local paper route that he maintained throughout high school. He was shy, so he wasn't a ladies' man, although he did have at least one...
Lady man.
At least one girlfriend.
Friedrich Cavassier.
I don't know. He did have at least one girlfriend in high school, okay? So in 1944, this is during the Second World War, Larry dropped out of high school as a senior to help with the war effort. So he enlisted in the United States Navy in 1944, and he served his country. And after the war ended, he returned home and completed high school in 1946 after returning home
from the service. Was he an archer in the Navy?
I don't know. The problem with this story is I relied on like three major sources, the Akron Beacon Journal and Life magazine did an article on this story back in the early 1960s. And other than that, there's not a whole lot out there.
That was two.
And was then,
three,
oh, I'm sorry.
The was third, three the homeless guy down
no,
the street?
The third was the Omaha newspaper in Omaha. And I can't remember their local newspaper. But
Tribune.
Was it, though? Is it?
Sure.
Okay. So it's the Omaha Chronicle.
I'll look it up and find out what I'm talking. But anyway, most of the information that I've attained on this story, it wasn't one of the stories where you go and there's like a ton of stuff on it,
Okay, I just want to, this reminds me of something. Mm-hmm. You remember, was it William Tell who put the apple on?
Yes. Said?
Okay, so my brother, one time, he tells me, he's bragging about how good he can throw a baseball.
Right.
And we have one of these little red kickballs.
Yeah, the rubber kind.
Rubber kind.
Uh-huh.
So he stands me up against a tree, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me put the rubber ball on top of my head,
mm-hmm.
stands about 30 feet away, and he's going to knock this ball off my head.
Mm-hmm.
Hit me right in the damn throat with the ball.
Oops.
Yeah.
I feel like the guy got hit with a flaming arrow in the throat.
Yeah, it was. Okay. Now, he got me more in the sternum than the actual throat.
Then we just did a podcast on John Wesley Harden. Tried to shoot the hat off the guy. Shot him in the head.
Yeah, but my brother was going to knock the ball off my head with a baseball and hit me right in the damn chest.
I'm sorry about that.
That hurt, man.
Anyway, back to Larry.
He used to do a lot of mean things to me.
Yeah, he's dead now. God rest his soul.
God rest his soul.
Larry Joseph Bader. Back to Larry. So he gets out of... Larry gets out of the Army, or the I'm sorry, the Navy. And he returns home. He finishes up high school in 1946. His service in the Navy, he received a Good Conduct Medal and several other citations. In his personal life, Larry was a bit conservative. He attended, he was Catholic, and he attended church regularly. He did not drink, smoke, or curse. The closest he would come to cursing was using the phrase, "Gosh darn it."
Gosh darn it.
Yeah. But, this was was in the 50s, very conservative, Midwest guy, right?
Don't you believe, though, that gosh darn it, and don't you, everybody knows what you mean, so aren't you backdooring, taking the Lord's name in vain?
I don't know.
I believe it's a sin.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just saying that from the Reverend Colonel's perspective.
Okay, but the
when
point
you say
being,
gosh darn it, you,
the point being, this guy was very conservative, and he didn't cuss, and he didn't.
Okay, well, you had a point, and I had a point.
Yeah, yeah, your
why
point
is your
was
point
stupid.
More bear?
Yuck foo, Chuck.
Huh?
Yuck foo.
Yeah.
Okay. So after finishing high school, Larry tried his hand at several different occupations. He started a hamburger stand here in Akron. And he worked hard to make it a success, but it failed. Larry was always thinking of ways to get rich quick. But none of these plans ever panned out, unfortunately for Larry. He decided he was going to go to further his education at the University of Akron. Are they the Zips? University of Akron?
Yes.
Okay. He went to University of Akron for one semester before dropping out.
Because he wanted to get his diploma quick.
Well, it didn't work out for him. He tried his hand at several business ventures, all of which failed. But he was determined. He finally found his calling when he got hired as a cookware salesman for the stainless steel division of Reynolds Metals in Akron. And the job was seemed like the perfect fit for Larry. Although he was quiet and reserved, he was very friendly and people liked him. So sales seemed to be his calling. You were in sales, Colonel, right?
I'm in sales now, Timmy.
Yeah, but you were, I mean, you were in traditional sales.
I mean, pretty much every day I'm selling my boss on why
every day
he'd
be
fired.
Yes, every day.
As he settled into his new position, he met and fell in love with a local woman named Mary Lou Stinson. They dated briefly, and they were soon married in 1951. They were both devout Catholics, and they both wanted a large family. By 1957, 6 years later, Lawrence Joseph Bader, now 31 years old, was your typical Midwest husband of the 1950s. So think Ozzy of Ozzy and Harriet, right?
Okay, so she coming to the door with the pearls on.
Yeah, and the apron.
Apron, but you know what? I believe she didn't have no undergarments on under that.
Oh, jeez. Harriet? Harriet? You know, if you're married to a man named Ozzy, just saying. Just leave it to Beaver time.
You know what? Leave it to Beaver. Doesn't that... That gives you connotations.
Well, no, I get that really does, and it really gives a lot of power to the woman in a relationship.
Yeah, say leave it me, I say give it to Beaver, not leave it to Beaver. Give it to the Beaver. But
so,
you got any thoughts on Beavers, there, Devil?
She's ignoring you. Larry was happily married to his wife Mary Lou, and in 1950, by 1957, they had three children that they adored.
So he was giving it to the Beaver.
Well, it was, you know, it was a Catholic, you know, they were both Catholic, and they tend to have large families. And plus, his wife was Mary Lou was pregnant with their fourth child. So they had three children, one more on the way, then 1957. Larry, they had a home. They bought a home in Akron. They had a $17,000 mortgage. Man, what would you, that's something, today that wouldn't even be a tiny house. But back in the day, so, you know,
fucking tiny house.
My parents, I think their first house they bought, they had their mortgage each month was $70.
My mom's mortgage payment was $111 to me.
So they had a house. They had, you know, three kids, one on the way. Larry was a salesman, doing pretty good in his career. He was earning $10,000 per year. So, you know, in 1957, that was not bad coin. His career was going well, and you know, but he was still looking for ways to get rich quick. When he wasn't working, Larry enjoyed spending his time with his family, and he also loved outdoor sports like fishing and swimming, and of course, archery, as I mentioned before. He became quite good at it. He became the Akron area archery champion, and eventually ended up being the Ohio State archery champion. In the late 50s. So the man could shoot a bow and arrow.
You know what I don't like about that? Is it, now, you know I go to the gun range a lot.
Mm-hmm.
When you shoot down the range, you ain't got to go get your bullets back.
That's true. That's true.
When you're shooting a arrow, you got to go pull it out of the haystack.
Which means you need more than just one, or it's ridiculous.
It takes a long time.
Yeah. His job as a salesman required Larry to travel a lot. He hated to be away from his wife and his growing family. When he was away on business, he tried to fill his downtime with sports they loved, fishing, swimming, and archery. Okay, so that brings us to the morning of May 15th, 1957. And you were, what, 12 years old then, Colonel?
That's one of my kids'
1957? May 12th?
May 15th,
1957. Not 1957, just May.
Do you remember which one?
I was a long way from being born.
That would be Jacob.
Happy birthday, Jacob. May 15th, 1957.
Yeah, well, you missed it. Missed his birthday.
I'm sorry, Jacob. While he was in Cleveland, which, of course, is not too far from Akron, Larry told his wife that he had to deal with some bad checks that some businesses dumped on him, and that after he dealt with these bad checks, he was a salesman again, that's selling cookware. Like, I don't know what that would be. I guess it's he's selling what, stoves, or I don't know what he's selling, cookware.
Fiestaware.
I think when they say cookware salesman, that's what he was selling.
You mean like plates?
No, skillets.
No, he was selling skillets.
Pots and pans.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, he was doing. He told his wife that day that
you don't do a lot of cooking, do you?
Not at all, never. He said he was. He had got some bad checks, and he was trying to get that worked out. And he said after he got that worked out, he was going to go maybe go fishing on the river, on the Rocky River near Cleveland. I've never heard of Rocky River before this, but apparently it's near Cleveland. Being an avid sportsman, Larry rented a boat on Rocky River and left the dock around 4:30 p.m. Now, there were storm warnings that day. They were up. But at the time, at 4:30, the river was calm. Larry had planned on being out on the boat for about 2 hours, and then because the storm wasn't expected to come in for 3 hours, so he thought he had plenty of time to get back safely and in time. And had he done so, we wouldn't have this story, because Larry lived a pretty boring life. But sadly, Larry did not make it back on that day. The next morning, his boat was found washed up on the rocks at nearby Perkins Beach on the Rocky River near Cleveland. The Coast Guard never found Larry's body, and the water was so rough, there was no way that they figured there was no way that the young man could have survived. He was 31 years old. When they found the boat, the police noticed something odd, that the gas line to the boat had been cut.
Oh, we got us a mystery here now, Timmy.
Yeah, because that's unusual. That doesn't just happen by itself.
Let me get my magnifying glass out.
Okay, there, Inspector Crusoe.
I'm Doctor Who.
Doctor Who.
A little bit, yeah.
In any event, Larry was presumed dead. He left behind a pregnant wife with a pregnant widow with three young children. Mary Lou was heartbroken. The love of her life was gone. She was widowed at the age of 28. She gave birth to her fourth child 3 months after Larry's death. 5 years later, Larry was declared legally dead by the judge presiding over his case. An insurance policy was paid out for $40,000. It had recently been upgraded to pay double indemnity in the event of an accidental death. So Mary Lou also started receiving Social Security benefits.
So she was rolling in the dough. You know what? She probably had it going on. She got a little pool, had Pedro the pool boy come over there.
Man, $40,000. She might have had a rubber pool.
That was a lot of money back then.
Blow-up pool. Yeah, it was a lot of money.
$40,000? She probably...
So that's the story. That's the story
of... My house with that.
Yeah.
That's the story of Lawrence Joseph Bader. Now Brandy's going to take it from here.
Yeah, let's talk about Fritz.
We got a guy named Fritz.
I love this name.
Yes.
John Francis Johnson, or Fritz.
Yes.
Was born in Boston, Massachusetts in 1926. He never knew his real parents and spent most of his early life in a Brookline orphanage.
Aw.
Despite his humble beginnings.
You know the thing about orphans?
They're in orphanages. They don't have parents.
They don't have parents.
They don't, and sometimes they get pissy about that.
Yeah.
And you know what? I have found very few of them sing, like Annie.
Oh, none of them.
It's kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
And they don't have dogs.
And you know, and tomorrow is not necessarily going to be a better day. Tomorrow could be worse than today.
That's only a day away.
Yeah.
All right. So despite his humble beginnings, though, Fritz was outgoing and he was very friendly. He was self-described as happy-go-lucky.
Happy-go-lucky Fritz.
So he had such a great opinion of himself.
He did.
He claimed to have many girlfriends and was a devoted bachelor.
Holy Christ, Timmy.
He's a ladies' man.
If she would have got that money back in 1955, that'd be like getting $400,000 today.
Okay. Thank you, girl.
So she would live in large.
But it was actually 1960, But anyway, go ahead. That was Mary Lou. Let's talk about Fritz.
He's got hoes in different area codes.
Yeah, Fritz is the ladies' man.
Yes. He loves sports, especially archery.
Ooh.
Fritz did all right in school and joined the Navy right after high school. In March of 1957, Fritz arrived in Omaha, Nebraska to start his new life.
$325,000 it would be, Timmy.
Thank you, Colonel.
That's a lot of lettuce.
You can still buy a house.
Yes. So Fritz is in Omaha now.
Yes.
Okay.
It's not been that long since we talked about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So He found a job as a bartender at a local pub. He went to a watering hole.
It is.
He's going to serve drinks at a watering hole.
If you're going to be a bartender, it's best to do it at a bar.
A local bar.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it wouldn't make sense for him to do it across country.
What? It was, excuse me, it was the perfect job for the friendly and outgoing Fritz.
The ladies' man.
His customers loved him. He would tell them dirty jokes and all about his adventures while serving in the Navy. Everybody loved Fritz.
And I don't know if I wrote this down there, but he had a pencil-thin mustache.
I think it is in here somewhere.
You know what?
That's a panty dropper right there.
Oh,
you know, if a woman, if you have a pencil-thin mustache, women, there's no need for underwear.
No.
Really, there's no need for pants.
We throw ourselves at guys who look like Snidely Whiplash.
Hold on, give me those scissors.
If you don't know who that is, look it up.
Okay, so what happened to Fritz?
So I'm going to make myself, I'm going to change. When I come back from vacation, instead of having this beard.
You have a pencil-thin mustache?
No, I decide I'm going to get a Fu Manchu.
Oh, that's not the same.
Okay.
That's stupid.
That's a panty dropper, though, ain't it?
No.
With the big balls on the end. Like
No.
The,
but you remember.
It looks like a beaver. You don't get beaver with it.
You remember Whit used to.
Yeah. Whit I'm going to wax my mustache.
Wax it out. Okay. It was sweet.
Yes. I'm going to tell you, mustache wax is coming back.
It's been back.
Well, yeah, these guys.
I'm a little.
These guys. You know, I don't like these guys growing the beards. I do not like it.
Okay.
Okay.
No, it's just. Do you like it? I mean, you see a guy in a pair of tight little jeans, and he's got.
I
a big
do not
lumberback
like. First of all, men should never wear skinny jeans.
They should never.
Ever.
But then he's got this big lumberjack beard.
They should wear skinny jeans if they're.
No, they shouldn't.
If they're transgender. It's
no.
Okay. It's okay.
In fact, I'm actually against anybody wearing skinny jeans. Okay. I don't. Even if you're a woman, because you know what? Your lady bits need to breathe, and they just can't. It's. Your vagina is strangled in skinny jeans. But anywho.
I would, you know.
Well, some vaginas just need to be killed.
That's true.
There's some vaginas that
some
need to be
some of them come out of skinny jeans smelling like they've been killed.
Smelling like they've been rotted.
It's roadkill.
Okay, Fritz. Back to Fritz.
Seriously?
You're a little pushy today, Timmy.
This is a good story. Back to Fritz.
Fritz worked for 2 years as a bartender before, in 1959, he landed, a job as an announcer.
Do you want to stay here or you want to take a nap, Devil?
Well, I think it's the story.
No, this
is
him.
According
to Timmy, this is one of the most fascinating ones we've done.
Well, in 1959, he became an announcer on KBON Radio.
Which seems like a good fit for him.
They're on your side.
I mean, he could have been in podcasting.
He could have.
I would have hired him and got rid of both of you. But unfortunately, this was before podcasting.
Weather on the Nines from KBON.
Yeah.
Now, here's Penny Lover.
Why are you always talking about getting rid of us?
Because it would probably improve the quality of our podcast. But continue, Brandy, telling us about Fritz.
I don't think
Fritz.
It would improve the writing.
Okay, and Fritz becomes
announcer with, what was the radio station? KBON Radio.
KBON.
Music and weather on the tens.
Yes.
So, as a publicity, we suck. We should never be allowed to access to microphone.
No, we really shouldn't. We're probably the three last people should have a podcast.
Bang!
Oh.
WKBON.
Has way too many letters.
That was the morning zoo.
It was
the morning
zoo.
Hey! KBON.
All right.
So
I bet it was AM.
Captain and Tennille stuff.
Okay. So he's working for the radio station.
Not in 59.
Because he's a very outgoing, charismatic.
I don't need a recap. We're not that far into it.
Well,
okay.
So as a publicity stunt.
Interrupt you every 3 seconds. Go ahead.
As a publicity stunt. As a publicity stunt, old boy went and perched on a flagpole.
Okay, so they had.
Wait, this is my favorite part, though.
Okay.
He was up there for a month to raise money for polio.
Okay, so this is like the. This would be like the ice bucket challenge of its day. He went on, he done pole setting, which was a thing. You know, it was a. Thing.
No, tell me. What? Tell me about it.
Well, you go up and you sit on a pole. There wasn't really a whole lot to it, but it was like, you know, a dancing contest.
Now, here's my question. Was there like a little
Yeah, there's a little platform.
A little platform? Yes. Oh, because that then it's not as impressive. Yeah. A. And B.
Well, I mean, it's still set up in the air.
Wasn't Joe DeSalt giving this thing away, giving the vaccine for free? Well, what kind of money are you raising here, sitting your ass up there in that bowl?
He raised money.
Perched like a vulture up there.
He raised money.
Oh, he raised $5,000. Exactly. I mean, he to fight polio.
That's better.
When the vaccine is free.
When was this?
All right, continue, Brandon.
It was in 59.
Okay.
And Fritz reveled in the attention. Yeah. He's an attention whore.
He became a local celebrity.
Much like somebody else is an attention whore here.
That'll be like raising $48,000.
But has a rank of colonel.
And name rhymes with fuck.
Tard. That'd be like raising $45,000 today.
Oh, son Jesus of a bitch. Christ. To fight a disease
that
already has a vaccine is free.
Yeah, why didn't you sit up there for smallpox?
Why not sit up there for rabies?
Yeah,
right. Have a fun run.
You know, I think we need to do a telethon for rabies.
You know what? And I said this before.
Have a 5,000 case
run. They had the bucket challenge. Oh, that's all well and good. And I know your brother died from ALS.
He's dead, so it doesn't matter.
But aren't you sick of raising money for awareness? I'm fucking aware of it.
I'm aware of it. Fix the motherfucker. That's what I'm with. Cure the motherfucker. I wouldn't raise money for a cure.
Exactly.
You know what? I want you to raise money. I want you to find, and if you're looking for a cause to donate, but I want you to donate so much goddamn money that you're bringing back from the dead.
Well, but find a disease that nobody's really heard of. Everybody's heard of polio and ALS. You know, find like, you know, I don't know, Cushing's disease or Michael Jackson syndrome.
I'll tell you an interesting...
Anal fissures.
Anal fissures.
That doesn't
they're more
get
common.
Nearly enough attention.
But
I will do a bucket challenge for anal fissures.
Well, you know, if you sat on a pole long enough, you probably have an anal fissure. Yeah, he's probably doing it. But here's an interesting thing that I learned.
The vaccine, the polio vaccine was introduced in 1955. So, they were still working on it.
News was slow to get
it. He got it.
$5,000. Give a guy a break. He was doing something for his community.
When you have only about 4,000 people a year in the United States get ALS.
Uh-huh.
So one of the reasons they were doing the bucket challenge is because pharmaceutical companies, research places, they don't do that much research on them because there's no money to be made.
Oh, I know that.
Because there's only 4,000 patients.
I know.
Patients.
Because I'm an educated person, I already knew that part of the story, so it's very boring.
And they say that the money they raised there did actually help with research.
Yeah, they found something.
Actually, they found two.
They found a thing.
And in last year, they have made... It, now, since Lou Gehrig, and Lou Gehrig didn't actually have Lou Gehrig's disease, I don't think. He had that.
What do you have? Babe Ruth disease?
Marilyn Monroe disease. Fast forward.
Okay, I'm getting to the thing.
Okay, get back to Fritz.
It's from the head injury stuff, but any, you know, that mimics ALS, and he played football without a helmet. He got hit in the head with 10 pitches in his day, so they think it was a head injury.
That's what's wrong with Casey.
But in the last year, since up until last year, they have made no progress in treating this disease. In the last 2 years, they've made two huge discoveries that they think can get this disease under control if they work on it. But let's get back to Fritz.
Before we do, a special shout-out to Jahara, Alicia, Chip, Bridget, and Cindy Lou. I forgot to get you guys earlier. They sponsor us on Patreon. If you would like to sponsor us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs.
Is this our commercial interruption?
It is a commercial break.
Yes. And now back to Fritz Johnson.
All right, so Fritz Johnson. All right, so he really loved the attention that he got.
From sitting on the pole.
During his month.
Much like the attention you like from.
You got from on the pole.
Yeah.
You liked the attention when you was on the pole, didn't you?
Yeah. Swinging from a pole.
Yeah.
And
what was your hooker name? Or your
stripper name.
Stripper name.
Brandy.
It was Desiree.
With an eye.
Brandy with an eye.
Okay. And a little.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com. Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Part over the aisle.
Yeah, clearly. Okay, so anyway, while he's on the pole, friends would hoist up bottles of liquor for him. Because, you know, he's not doing anything else. And at one point, Fritz became so drunk, he almost fell off the pole. Kind of like falling off the wagon. Those are not your friends.
And no, if you fall off the pole, that's a serious thing if you're up in the air.
Those are not your friends then, because nobody's thought that through.
You know, if he was Mexican.
He's bored.
If he was a Mexican and John Wesley Harden came in, he would have tried to shoot him off the pole.
He probably would have.
Wow.
Thanks for that insight, Colonel.
Remember the guy was just sunbathing on the thing and John Wesley Harden tried to knock him off of it?
Yeah, he's kind of a dickweed.
He tried to shoot his hat, off and he shot him in the head. So, continue, Brandy.
So, popular and incredibly flamboyant, much like Liberace, he was simply known to the public as Fritz. And he never really used his last name. Just
Fritz.
Right.
Much like the Colonel and Madonna.
Or Norm.
And Liberace.
We're
all me, Prince. Madonna.
Actually,
no.
Ran into Liberace once.
From behind?
No. And Scott Sorensen, it was down on Fountain Square. I was just walking by, and they had a Kimball Piano Company is in Cincinnati, and they were having their 100th anniversary on something on Fountain Square. And this limousine pulls up, and I'm walking down the street, and this guy, who later I figured was Scott Sorensen, his lover, opens the door, and there's
Liberace hit you with his coat?
No, he just walked by. He was very flamboyant. But anyway.
Did any of it rub off on you?
No.
No, it's a shame. All right, so as has been stated, I don't know, 5 or 6 times here in this script, Fritz was a ladies' man.
The ladies' man.
And he would often date several women at once, in addition to having an endless number of one-night stands.
So his wang was getting a workout.
Seriously.
He was giving it to the beaver.
Yeah.
Co-workers remember him as a hopeless flirt.
Who was always awake
here, I don't know what my problem is. He was a hopeless flirt who was always trying to get women into bed.
Who's that remind you of?
Let's see. Fritz was going to... He didn't like marriage. Fritz claimed to not like marriage, and he was going to be a bachelor for life.
Who does like marriage?
He would often give his best friend... He'd give his friend shit when they became engaged. Fritz was kind of a weirdo. As we stated earlier, he dressed flamboyantly and had a pencil-thin mustache.
Ooh.
So Timmy kind of gave it away on that one.
Thank you,
Timmy.
Just trying to set the stage.
How did that guy on the Flintstones do it?
I don't know what he's
Remember
doing?
The guy that... He was on a show. He was an actor. Always had a pencil-thin mustache.
Oh, yeah. I know you're talking about. Well, this guy was kind of like him.
Snidely Whiplash?
No, he was like a... Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I can't think of it.
And they would always laugh like this.
He was you know what he also did with Bob Hope? The real guy
with Bob Hope.
With OS, the USO. I can't think of his name. But go ahead.
All right, we're good?
Yeah, continue.
All right, he was well known around town for owning a hearse that he that he outfitted with a coffee table, bar, and pillows. Fuck, big ass hearse. What the hell?
And the pencil thin mustache, those panties. There's no need for panties. They don't even wear.
The women in that town might as well just walk around naked. So it was rumored. That he used the hearse for gambling.
Oh.
But when the police raided it once.
we need to do a search warrant on a hearse.
Yeah. How do you ask for that?
He was a gambler, he was a drunkard, and he was a ladies' man.
He was a rounder, Timmy. He was just a rounder.
That's going to drive me crazy trying to think who that actor, that guy was.
Oh, God. So anyway, the police didn't find any conclusive evidence in the hearse of gambling.
Okay.
So it wouldn't be that hard, he'd just toss it out the window.
He threw the dice out, yeah. It sounds like.
Instead of placing the actual date on checks, he would simply write winter, spring, summer, or fall. Yes! I'm gonna
all you have to do
that.
Is call.
Yeah. I'm going to start doing that.
And I'll be there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes, I will.
You got a friend. You know,
thank you. That's on his checks. He wouldn't put the dates.
I know. He just the season.
It's a bit of an oddball. Or Fritz.
Well, you know what? And I don't know. If you have money, you're considered eccentric. But if you don't have that much money,
you're just crazy.
You're just weird.
Yeah. He was weird, but he's getting laid.
Well, but you're still weird. He doesn't have enough money to be eccentric.
All right. I'll give you that.
All right. So being known, he was known to be a social butterfly. Omaha residents were surprised when, on April 11th, 1962, Fritz married.
He got married.
A former model named Nancy Johnson. Well, luckily for her, she doesn't have to change her monograms.
I wonder if he had to get rid of the hearse.
They had two children. One that was conceived during their marriage and a second that Nancy had from a previous marriage. There was a huge age difference between the couple. He was 36, she was 22. How did they ever find anything to talk about?
Well, I think he was a ladies' man. He didn't talk about that.
Okay, Colonel.
I bet she was
the
bitty.
Guy that we were talking about, Don Ashmy?
The hot piano.
He was the guy.
88 Fingers, he played 88 Fingers Louie on the
He on was the actor. Yeah, and do you know where he was born?
Akron, Ohio.
He was born in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Kenosha, Wisconsin. And I'm going to be up in. I wonder if they got a statue of him.
I don't know. That's where you're going for vacation.
Well, I guess you'll have to look. Who vacations in fucking Kenosha? Jesus God.
It's dickweed over here.
So anyway, they've got this huge age gap of, 14 years?
Yeah, but you know, I think she was a model.
She's bendy. That's all that is. She's very bendy.
Well, he's given up his, he's given up his bachelor, his life as a bachelor for this woman. He was getting laid a lot, Fritz.
Well, and clearly so was she.
All right. She was a divorcee, which was kind of scandalous back then.
Was she a divorcee?
Yeah. And she was a divorcee.
Okay, so clearly she will just leave people should she not want to be there anymore. Well, all right. Yes. So, affable and charming, Johnson became a celebrity in Omaha. And in 1963, joined KETV.
So now he's moving
They're
to
television. They're on your side.
Ooh.
As an announcer for news, sports, weather, and commercials.
Yeah, he did a lot of, local sports events, including wrestling.
Want me to read about this?
Please do. Please go ahead.
I mean, I don't know.
It's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
But Timmy could tell us about it.
Fritz announced.
Please continue.
Well, and here's a shocker for you. Fritz announced pro wrestling matches.
Oh.
And was promoted to sports director at the TV station.
But, you know, being an announcer on wrestling is a dangerous job because sometimes they hit you over the head with chairs.
Oh, they do. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like that shit. That's why I don't do it.
I like wrestling.
One other thing that Fritz had going for him was that he was the Nebraska State Freestyle Archery Champion.
So he was quite the archer, Fritz.
You know what I don't understand about that when I read that? Freestyle.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
freestyle. I mean, is that
rap? You rap when you're doing it.
Okay, I mean,
or just behind your head.
Okay, is that what it is? Like,
yeah,
I'm doing. It's like when you play horse. I call behind the back.
Yeah, yeah.
Bullseye, okay.
Yeah. Between the legs. Do whatever.
Mm-hmm. No cotton. You know, he's.
I thought he was rapping myself, but maybe.
Well,
I thought it was archery without condoms.
Could be, but he defended this title 12 times.
So
for 12 years, he was the Nebraska State Freestyle.
It might have just been...
It could be 6 years. Doesn't give a fuck. I'm going with 12. I assume they only have the Nebraska State Freestyle Archery competitions once a year.
So you're just making shit up here?
All right. Continue.
No.
Continue, Brandon. He's an archery champion of Wisconsin. Much like Larry Bader was in Akron. Go ahead.
In 1964, unfortunately for Fritz... His health took a turn for the worse, and he was diagnosed with a malignant brain tumor that ended up costing him his eye.
Poor Fritz.
So he had to wear a patch.
Oh, that's cool, though. That's a good look.
A patch and a pencil-thin mustache.
Oh, that
drawer.
You know what? There's no sense even owning panties.
Here you go, Timmy. That's the sound of those panties hitting the floor.
Yeah. Yeah, they probably can't even sell panties in that town with him walking around with a pencil-thin mustache and an eye patch. Well, he was married at this point, though.
Doesn't matter. You think it matters?
Yeah, it matters.
All right. No, it doesn't.
So and he left his wife.
He appeared to recover quite well and resumed his television career and his life as an archer. He took to wearing an eye patch, even on the air, further enhancing his reputation as being flamboyant. And the fur coat didn't hurt. Despite losing his eye, he continued to dominate on the Nebraska archery circuit, which I've heard can be quite...
I mean, if you're dominating...
It's cutthroat. Yeah. But, you know, when you think about it, you always got that you one eye shot anyway.
Right.
Yeah, so...
You know, I watched those guys in the Olympics, and they put that rope, they put that, whatever it is, the...
String?
String, whatever, on their mouth. They hold it against their mouth.
I don't know.
Yeah, I watched it in the Olympics.
Seems
and
like
I can't
a dirty
remember.
Thing.
It does seem dirty to me, too, but... Okay, that was not that important, but continue.
Once again...
Back to Fritz.
Are you laughing at him?
I just had something pop up in my news feed.
Oh, there it is. All right.
I thought he was laughing at me.
It was fun. Yours was funny, too. But this, I got to say, if people read the news today, that will be...
Well, say it now because people are
okay.
curious.
So I'm just reading the news, you know, and the other day Donald Trump said something about, you know, how Barack Obama founded ISIS. You know, he was a creator of ISIS because of his
Everybody
political
knows
policies.
That.
Today Trump said, no, I mean he is the founder literally. He founded ISIS.
Oh, he thinks he started the chapter or something?
He gathered people together.
Yeah, he actually founded the group. Not that he created the circumstances.
God.
Not, you mean he literally did it?
He literally did. Okay. That, no, that's what Trump said.
They had to, like, pay
membership.
Well,
I'm glad he cleared that up.
Okay.
Yeah, he said,
yeah,
no.
They had to pay dues.
Trump said...
Because he don't want him to think... He doesn't want people to get misinterpreted to think he was... Talking figuratively.
Figuratively, he said no. I mean, he's the literal founder of ISIS.
Everyone has an opinion. Brandy, go on with Fritz.
I don't know.
Let's get back to Fritz.
Okay, so 3 months after he lost his eye, he again won the Nebraska State Freestyle Archery Championship.
Even after his injury, I mean, even after his surgery to remove a tumor.
He is amazing.
He really is.
Fritz was so good that the Sanders Archery Company of Columbus, Nebraska,
mm-hmm.
sent him in February of 1965 to Chicago's McCormick Place to demonstrate the firm's new equipment at a sports show.
Wow. I wonder if he got per diem for that.
So he's going to be like those
That
chicks.
Means per day.
Per day.
Yeah.
Per diem.
So, but he reminds me, I wonder if he's like those chicks that lay across the hood of cars.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Was he laid across the arch?
Like White Snake, I guess.
Yeah.
White Snake
yeah.
Video.
Yeah. You know,
or like
who,
at car shows.
Who in the world, what man in the world that's over 39 did not think Tawny Katane was just
yeah,
the
but she's so BSC.
She, oh, she goddamn crazy.
She is so BSC.
And she hit the wall, didn't she?
She
with her full face.
Yeah. She beat up a baseball player.
Yeah.
Okay. So he goes to Chicago for
yes,
this event.
He went to a sports show to demonstrate. To lay on top of this,
so you get a free trip out of
archery equipment.
Yeah. Well, so he's in Chicago. What happens, Colonel White's in Chicago?
Well, this is where live of Larry gets interesting.
Okay, this is the
crossroads of Larry Beta and sports caster Fritz.
Okay,
a man from Akron who was visiting the show did the double take. Like on the Flintstones.
And when he saw Fritz.
When he saw Fritz.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. You're kind of pushing me. You're pressuring me. I don't know what you're doing here, Timmy.
Continue, Colonel.
I'm
just
it's awful, isn't it? It's a horrible way to work.
What is this?
Continue.
You know what? This is like working in one of those sweatshops overseas in a third world country.
I feel like yeah, it's just
be,
like that.
I feel like I should be sewing underwear right now.
I feel like I should
be
sewing?
You should be
I should be making ties.
For Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Continue, Colonel.
Anyway. So a man from Akron's visiting this show, and he does a double take.
Okay, well, he was taken aback.
He was, because Fritz Johnson was a spitting image of his friend Larry Beta, who had died 8 years earlier.
Oh, yeah, the guy we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
Seemed like an hour and a half ago.
The friend then
I love how it all ties in together.
Yeah.
The friend then
called. You thought that was a random story, didn't
you? You know?
Yeah, no idea. Surprise me. Go ahead. All right, continue, Colonel.
Do you want me to continue?
I would love for you to continue.
Because you guys can keep going.
No, more to please, say. Please, please. It's getting interesting now.
Okay. We'll have plenty of time to do that while you're on vacation.
Oh, that's true. A friend then called one of Larry's family members who lived in the Chicago area. A niece rushed to the sports show, confirmed the likeness, and summoned two of Larry's brothers from Akron. The niece walked up to Fritz and said, "Aren't you my Uncle Larry, who used to play Ride the Pony with me, but told me not to tell my parents?"
No, that's not what she said. But she did ask him if he was her uncle, right?
He did.
Did he say uncle?
So Fritz thought she was joking, but he was cooperative and denied any connection to the Beta family.
Not me. What's that got to do with me?
Now, not to sway.
Look at me.
Mm-mm.
Denise called Richard and John Beta in Akron and explained that their dead brother,
they should have called Darth,
had a look-alike in Chicago. She persuaded Johnson. She was a Johnson persuader. She persuaded Johnson to speak on the phone. And the Beta brothers listened intently as the gentleman on the other end of the line denied knowing anyone from Akron.
I would deny knowing anybody from Akron. Yeah.
So Fritz is like,
what the fuck are you talking about?
Wouldn't you kind of like want to move away from this lady?
Yeah, I know. Well, maybe she was hot. He was a ladies' man.
Okay, continue.
So the brothers jump on a plane to Chicago. It wasn't just a voice that intrigued them. Larry Beta was an avid archer, Timmy.
There's a connection here.
Seems like it. When Fritz met the Beta brothers, they showed no hint of recognition. Fritz was polite, answered all their questions, and even volunteered to take a fingerprint test.
What?
There was no doubt in their minds, however, that he was their lost sibling.
Even though he had a pencil-thin mustache.
Yeah.
And a patch on his eye.
It's the most remarkable thing I've ever seen in my life, Dick Beta said afterwards.
Dick Beta.
His name was Richard, but I'm going with Dick. I'm sure his friends called him Dick. Dick Beta. I don't know what to say. We feel that the poor man has a real case of illness and some kind of mental block, John Beta said. Now, the group went down to the local Chicago PD and took Fritz's fingerprints and sent them to the FBI for analysis. The FBI compared Fritz's fingerprints to Larry Beta's prints taken while he was in the Navy. A few weeks later, the FBI contacted Fritz to give him the news. The fingerprints, what do you think happened there to me?
Tell us, Colonel.
They was an exact match.
So
he was, in fact, Mr. Beta.
So Fritz is Larry.
Fritz is Larry.
And Larry is Fritz.
And it's news to Fritz.
Fritz was just in shock.
He was taken aback.
I was sure the fingerprint check would clear me, as if being Fritz was a crime, but Johnson told a reporter, "Wouldn't I be out of my mind to agree to the check if I knew I was Beta? He had a lifetime of memories. What about the orphanage, his service in the Navy, the friends he had known throughout the years? How could he be someone else?"
That's a good question.
How could it even be possible?
How could it be possible?
Also, what about his current wife and child? What about Larry's widow and family? We got all kinds of things going on.
It's complicated.
It's a tangled mess.
It's a mess of shit.
Fritz was just overwhelmed, Timmy.
I'm sure he would be.
He was overwhelmed.
Like any of us would be.
Now, fearing he was now in legal trouble for bigotry and any other crime. I'm sorry, bigger me.
Yeah, he wasn't a bigot, we know of.
And any other crimes that this Larry Beta guy may have committed, Fritz found himself a lawyer. He lawyered up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Fritz told the attorney of his upbringing. He said he was one of 22 babies left on doorsteps in Boston in 1930. You couldn't swing a damn cat without finding a baby on a doorstep, apparently. And he was raised in an orphanage in Brookline, Massachusetts. He joined the Navy in 1943 and was discharged in 1957.
So that was a long time. 14 years in the Navy.
14 years.
Yeah.
The attorney suggested Fritz get a psychological evaluation.
It's not looking good if your attorney says you need to get a psych eval.
I've actually had an attorney tell me that before, and it got me out of the case.
We can constantly encourage Brandy to do the same thing.
Well, Yeah, but remember last Christmas we paid for the psychological evaluation and the poor fucker doing it ran out of here screaming.
Yeah.
He was an amateur.
Did you ever see the movie, did you ever see the first movie of, what was it, where they videotape and, ghosts appear and stuff?
Oh, Paranormal Activity?
Paranormal Activity.
No.
It only had like four people in the whole movie.
Right.
And one of them was this, they bring in the...
A priest.
Yeah, they bring in that parapsychologist in.
Yeah.
And the parapsychologist, he comes in, and they usually give you their spiel about what this spirit is or whatever. This motherfucker comes in and he's like, he checks around, he says, I'm leaving. He's in the scene for like 3 minutes. I'm out of here. Which is what the psychologist did when we brought
him for Brandy. Yeah. We was just trying to clear up a couple minor things.
Yeah.
Amateur.
When he told Brandy, this is a safe zone. You can say anything you like.
Yeah.
She said like three things, and this poor son bitch just went flying out the door. He's like,
I don't get paid that much.
And you know what was funny? The guy, remember how dark his hair was when he came in? It was almost
He had that Bride of Frankenstein streak.
Yeah, that strike right going right
weak
down the middle.
Constitution.
How do you think Frankenstein and Bride of Frankenstein did it the most? Do you think it was...
with his Franken penis? What do you mean?
But I mean, do you think they did it doggy style?
I would think doggy style because he had those boots.
You think that she pulled on those bolts that came out of his neck?
Oh,
I bet she had bolts coming out her JJ.
She wouldn't have to need one.
Can we get back on topic?
Okay, back to Fritz.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so the lawyer says we need to get you a
They were doing it Franken style.
Jesus. Spankenstein.
Spankenstein with his Frankenweiner.
I would hope that they would pull, when you're getting parts, I would hope they would get him an above average penis.
Well, if you really need help, you call in Edward Penis Fingers.
Well, and then what happens, when she don't want to be bothered, she gets out the torch.
Yeah.
Edward Penis Hands.
Weren't you concerned that he was going to be a child molester in that movie?
Frankenstein.
Yeah, when he first came across little girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I didn't think that was going to end up good.
No. Okay, back to Fritz. His lawyer tells him
his attorney says, "Go get yourself a psychological evaluation," and then the attorney started his own investigation. The strange case made national news. Doctors debated whether he truly suffered from amnesia or a deep-seated psychiatric problem,
or he was faking it,
or if the tumor that robbed him of his eye could have stolen his memory, which really doesn't make sense because the tumor came along afterwards.
Well,
that's when it affected
him. Yeah, that's when it was diagnosed, but he could have had it for a longer period.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Jeez, Chuck.
But,
Christ. Well, I also read that maybe the boating accident, maybe something that happened, he got hit in the head.
Got jostled.
Or he got frightened. He was just...
Yeah. Now, Mary Lou Bader was shocked to learn that she was no longer a widow because she collected that $400,000 in today's cash and had been banging the pool boy ever since.
No, she had not. But she was shocked to hear that he was still alive.
Oh, I bet it's
she was shocked. And she said, it was something very unreal. It was sort of like a numbness. It wasn't an emptiness like I felt when he had drowned. Because the pool boy had filled
no.
with emptiness.
Play it straight, no pool boy.
Oh, she was a devout Roman Catholic.
Yes, she was.
So she did not believe in divorce. It was not an option. There was also the issue of the insurance payments and Social Security survival benefits that she'd been receiving for 6 years. Now, meanwhile, Fritz's wife, Nancy Johnson, didn't like to comment about this case. I just don't know what to think, she said. At first, everyone else was in shock, but having been already divorced once, she was not eager to end a marriage. In the end, though, that's exactly what she did. Now, Johnson, on the other end, his life quickly unravels.
Well, yeah.
TV station.
She lost to Johnson.
She lost to Johnson, and Johnson's about to lose some stuff.
Fritz, it doesn't go well for Fritz.
The TV station fired him. His wife annulled their marriage. He moved into the room. Now, this is a serendipity. mm-hmm. or some kind of symmetry.
Okay.
Because how long had he been in the Navy? Where he could sail the seven seas.
Yeah, like 14,
in the Navy.
Like 14 yeah. years.
So you know where he's living now?
Where?
In the Navy. He got a room at the
YMCA. YMCA.
Mm-hmm.
That's where, you know, they don't do that anymore, do they? It used to be where you could rent rooms real cheap at the YMCA.
Yeah.
And then the village people would come.
Well, I think you just got a cot. I think it was like a...
They would sodomize you, the village people.
They'd come in there. Yeah. You didn't want to really be at the YMCA.
I didn't want to be... I wouldn't want to be sodomized by the Indian chief.
You know
just
what?
The Indian chief?
No, I would not.
That's where you draw the line. You don't want to be sodomized by the Indian chief.
The construction guy wasn't that.
Right. What about the
construction wasn't guy? But you know who? It was the policeman all in leather.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because that's some bitch. You know he had an attitude.
And he had handcuffs.
He had handcuffs. Yeah. And you know what? Yeah. And you know, I had to start. I had a little. I had to start a thing. Colonel's butts matter. Stay out of my butt, Mr. Policeman.
Yeah, okay. So Fritz loses his wife.
He's lost,
he lost
pretty
his
much
second
every,
wife.
He's
he lost
living
his
at
job.
The YMCA, and he got his job back as a bartender.
Okay.
Now, he earned $100 a week and paid $50 a week to support his Akron children and $20 a week for his Omaha children.
Okay, so he's
hurting for
he's,
certain.
He's hurting.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even know what the fuck is going on still.
Yeah, he's not sure what happened.
In August 1965, Mary Lou Bader drove her four kids to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
They picked up a total stranger, Fritz Johnson, at Union Station and had a two-day family reunion. He looked the same to me as when he disappeared, except for his mustache and eye patch.
Yeah.
She said Johnson was just as wonderful with all of us, just wonderful with all of us. He treated the children like he had known them all his lives.
Well,
I'm hopefully he will eventually remember. He's convinced himself that he doesn't recognize anyone. So they get into the investigating this stuff, and meanwhile, it's producing mixed results.
Okay.
The Brookline Orphanage did have a record of John Francis Johnson, but the dates didn't match up. Johnson had lived at the orphanage in the early 30s, but only a few years before he aged out.
So there was a record of someone by that name?
By that name, but not at that time.
Okay.
The Navy was unable to verify Johnson's service, but confirmed the records related to Fritz's enlistment may have been destroyed in a warehouse fire in 1961.
Okay.
Strangely, though, Fritz did have his discharge papers that did verify that he was discharged from the Navy in 1956.
Was it Fritz Johnson?
Mm-hmm. Now, a list of friends and personal acquaintances were also checked out with mixed results.
So he gave his attorney names of people he'd known over his life?
Yeah. He named several people he knew at the orphanage. Most you couldn't locate. However, one friend from the orphanage was identified and insisted that he did know Fritz Johnson, and without being prompted, mentioned that Fritz was very good at archery.
Okay. So there's some indication that this guy existed?
Some. Now, another friend verified that he served with Fritz in the Navy and always felt bad for him because he'd grown up an orphan.
Okay.
Ain't nobody feels bad for me. I'm an orphan.
Yeah. I feel bad for you.
Thank you, Timmy.
I don't care. Get over it already.
You're fucking pathetic. I feel very bad for you.
But other than these few pieces of evidence, there's no record to
prove. You know, like you feel bad for your retarded cousin.
Yeah, no, yeah, I understand.
That's very nice, Timmy. That's a real good word to use for our...
I'm sorry.
I apologize, listeners. Timmy has no social sensitivity.
Okay, continue, Kurt.
But other than these few pieces of evidence, there's no record that Fritz Johnson existed prior to his arrival in Omaha in 1957.
Fritz Johnson.
My God, don't you understand, Johnson said. All of a sudden, I found out 30 years of my life never happened.
That would be pretty fucked up.
Yeah, that would suck pretty bad.
It'd be like a Twilight Zone episode.
I really do have 30 years of memory as Fritz Johnson. What am I supposed to do with those 30 years? Throw them out the door?
Yeah, I mean, you're...
Johnson referred to Larry Bader as the other fella. Johnson said he thought about visiting Akron, but didn't want to live in Ohio.
Who does?
Good call there.
Yeah, that's true. I think people would keep testing me. They'd always be asking me questions to see what I might remember, and then, I don't know, I'd be afraid if I'd kind of freak back there. Although he was kind of freaking out in wherever he was in Omaha, dressing with a pencil-thin mustache and fur coat.
Isn't that a song? I wish I had a pencil-thin mustache.
Purple high-heel shoes.
Should be if it's not.
So he said he hoped God might solve the problem, but I don't see how this mess can have a happy ending. Now, meanwhile, friends in Omaha kept a distance from once popular Fritz.
So he became an outcast.
Psychologists have speculated that Johnson's brain tumor may have resulted in his memory loss. They also said it could have been a boating accident. And some people cannot accept the amnesia and subconsciously adopt a whole new history.
All right, so the theory is he had a brain tumor, or he had this traumatic experience on the boat.
He remembered bits and pieces like the orphanage, the Navy, whatever.
Yeah, and he lost his memory.
Mm-hmm.
He became so overwhelmed with not being able to remember that his brain constructed a phony
persona. Yeah.
Okay.
And now the doctors urged him not to try to reconstruct his past as Fritz Johnson or Larry Bader. They warned him attempts to do so would likely do more harm than good. He would simply have to wait and hope that his memory would return.
Yeah, that'd be awful, man.
Others feel he was a more sinister character, Jimmy.
What did they believe?
Well, they believed that Fritz Johnson did not have amnesia at all.
What did they think?
They believed that Larry Bader faked his own death and simply walked away from his life in Akron. His wife was kind of homely.
No, that was not true. Why do they think that? Why is that a theory?
He was thousands of dollars in debt.
Okay.
The IRS was auditing him, and he already owed back taxes. And only weeks before his disappearance, he upgraded his insurance policy to include a double indemnity payout clause in the event of his accidental death. And they point to the fact that the boat gas line had been cut, which could not have been an accident. And they point out again that Larry's remains were never found. The doctors who observed and interviewed Fritz on multiple occasions concluded that he was not faking it. Devil, you ever fake it?
Here's my theory on this. I don't buy the fact that he faked his death, and here's why. One, all that stuff is not that uncommon for people to be thousands of dollars in debt. It's not that uncommon for people to be audited. Insurance, I mean, yeah, maybe that's a little iffy. But if you're going to fake your own death and create a whole new life, you wouldn't get a job as a
DJ.
A DJ or a television guy. So, I mean, you really wouldn't. I don't think you would go get a job that was high profile like that. You wouldn't participate in.
No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't do
participate
like that
if you knew. Archery championship. If you're on the lam, yeah, it doesn't make sense. And plus the fact we have these little pieces of evidence that Fritz really did exist, right?
Well, but here's the thing I can't figure out. Okay, we know that they're the same person,
right?
From the fingerprints,
right?
How does he have this stuff from the Navy, the paperwork from the Navy?
Yeah, I know it's weird.
Unless maybe it was somebody else's identity.
I don't know. But you would think that I mean, I really think that I don't think he's faking it. I think he might have amnesia or something, but I don't think he's faking it because, like I said, I don't think you go for it. And his personality changed. We said he was this real conservative, quiet guy, and now he's this playboy.
The ladies man.
He's a ladies man. He's outgoing. He's on the radio. He's on the TV. He's sitting on the pole. I mean, it seems like it's a whole different personality than Larry. But well, anyway, continue, Colonel.
It's much like the, you know, and people can have that. Like, you know how the devil, she can be demure and ladylike and...
You were saying when we were talking about this story that you had an experience with amnesia.
Well, it's not amnesia. People block things out. I have, I have no, my father died when I was young. I was 8 years old.
It was a traumatic...
It was a... it was a self-inflicted death. And I don't, you know, I think that that's not one of those things that people should be ashamed of or kept secret
whatever. He killed himself.
Yes. And okay. I have no memory of my father.
And you were how old?
I was 8 years old. Yeah. Now, what's peculiar is I have memories of events that my father was there, mm-hmm. but in those events that I have those memories, my father is not there.
so your brain can do... You have no memory of him.
I have not one single recollection of one memory of my father whatsoever.
But you can remember...
I can remember, Timmy, I can remember getting my first baseball glove. I was 7 years old. My father gave me my baseball glove. Mm-hmm. By all accounts, my father gave me my baseball glove. And my memory, my grandmother gave me my baseball glove. I can remember Christmas.
So in your mind, you replace...
Yeah, what happens is, I guess, you go through traumatic things, and your brain, it's like a computer. It wipes it clean, or it buries it. And
it's a defense mechanism.
Yeah, what happens is, you know, you go through these things, and I had a therapist who wanted to hypnotize me to bring back repressed memories. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, it was so painful. And I said, Don, I said, you know, something so painful, something so horrible to me that I was, I repressed it. I just blocked it all out. Why would I want to relive it? And do you know, the therapist dropped me. She said, if you're not willing to get better, I was like.
Well, it seems like, you know, that's what, I mean, it seems like in this case, they were telling him not to try to recall it.
Because what can happen to you is you get false memories.
Mm-hmm. And that's, and apparently.
You create your own memory. And that's, has happened to me on occasion where I've had memories that I was certain of, mm-hmm. that did not include my father, mm-hmm. but because I had left open spots there.
Yeah, you had to fill them in.
I had to fill them in.
And you filled them in with grandma.
And I filled them in with my grandma and my brother, and my memories were wrong. They're incorrect.
And Fritz Johnson, sounds like he may have done the same thing.
Yeah.
All right, continue, Colonel.
Well, the doctors who interviewed him said they did not believe he was faking it at all. They believed that in his mind he was truly Fritz Johnson. Now, nobody really ever found out, because at a very young age, Fritz was diagnosed with liver cancer. He was 39 years old.
His cancer returned.
Yes, cancer returned, and it spread to his liver. His health rapidly deteriorated. He was hospitalized, and he died. Lawrence Bader and John Fritz Johnson, both 39, died September 16th. 1966. A memorial service for Johnson was held in Omaha. The body was returned for burial in a Beta family plot in Holy Cross Cemetery. It's all over now, the Akron Beacon Journal reported at the time. There is no tomorrow for the man who claimed to recall no past. All that remains is a mystery. Now, his headstone, you know more about his headstone. He was buried, the Beta family, he was buried as Beta. Uh-huh. In a cemetery.
He was buried in Akron. Plot. In Akron.
But it's funny because they had two services, one for the guy, one for
Fritz in Omaha, and one for Larry in
Akron. What I believe, here's what I believe happened to the guy. I believe that I'm more inclined to go with your thing, Timmy. Here's in this kind of a far-fetched theory, but he had a brain tumor, right? Mm-hmm. He gets out on the boat. Has a seizure, mm-hmm. Wakes up, gets back, you know, to whatever, doesn't know what the fuck happened, what went on, mm-hmm. doesn't even know who he is, mm-hmm. and makes up a life from there. But he has bits and recall, he has some recall.
The Navy,
archery, the orphanage, the archery. Yeah, because if you can throw a baseball... Mm-hmm. If you get amnesia and somebody hands you a baseball, you're still going to be able to throw the baseball.
Right.
You know, I mean, your muscle memory and your mind and everything mm-hmm. else, you don't lose that. It's the conscious memory.
Yeah, so I always... You can still tie your shoe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you still drive a car. Interesting. Brandy, what's your thoughts on Lawrence Joseph Bader / Fritz Johnson?
It's a little disappointing he didn't kill anybody.
I know you're disappointed about that, but... What's your theory on this
think he was faking it? Or
no, I don't think he was faking. I don't think he was faking it at all, because you're right. I mean, it would be pretty dumb if he was faking it to, you know, sit on top of a pole and get all the recognition, and he seemed to really...
Yeah, he seemed to like...
revel in that.
Yeah.
So, you know, no, I don't think he faked it. But, you know, clearly there was something amiss.
There was something. It's a mystery.
It is a mystery.
Wrapped in an enigma.
I do have a question for you, though, Devil. And we touch on this subject from time to time.
About her lesbianism and softball.
Let's say when you was in college playing softball, and you was batting, and you took a pitch in the head, okay, and it knocked you out, and you got amnesia.
Yeah.
And you developed a new persona. Would that persona be a lesbian?
No.
Would it that persona be any nicer than the current persona?
could we whack you on the head with a mallet and get you to be nicer?
No.
But look over there.
Yeah, just. But
that's a very nice try, gentlemen. No.
Yeah, okay. Well, okay. We're
you think
trying.
My husband hasn't had all those opportunities.
Well, yeah,
that's true.
Has he ever whacked you on the head with a mallet?
Well, sometimes I wake up, my head hurts.
You know. Brandy, where can people find us?
Well, they can find us on Facebook.
Yeah, we have two Facebook pages: the History Dweebs page, which is history, serious history. Related stuff. And then we also have a group page for all of those who listen to our podcast, and we encourage you to join that group.
And if you join that group, you will get pictures of my vacation in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. Well, shit.
That is History Dweebs, the podcast. So just search for History Dweebs, the podcast on Facebook, and send us a request. We'll preview, and then you can you know, interact with not only us, but all the cool people who listen to the podcast.
There are some very funny people on that page.
There really are. Brandy, where else can people find us?
iTunes.
On iTunes. Please leave us a review. We got two very nice reviews the last couple of days. We want to thank the folks for that. One of them said that they like Brandy when she's mean to the captain. Yeah. So I guess you got demoted.
I got demoted.
And the other one said they love the colonel. So thank you for the 5-star reviews. We really appreciate it. It helps other people find us. And they can find us on Twitter at HistoryDweebs1 and on Stitcher, and we're all over the place. We're more popular than Captain Kangaroo.
We are.
Yes.
You know, I was talking about the collection the other day that I had.
Yes.
You remember Mr. Yeah. Green Jeans?
Yes, I remember Mr. Green Jeans.
From Captain Kangaroo. Now, Mr.
Yeah,
Green Jeans.
He was a little creepy, I thought.
Actually, who's that guy we did the story on that liked to shove things in his ass?
That was Robert Black.
Yes. Mr. Green Jeans had a little habit. He had a little collection of plugs.
Did
he
really?
Liked to use, and I have one of those.
Oh, I thought that's why he was always. I thought that's why he was always taking the carrot from the bunny, so he could.
Yeah, so he could shove it in his ass.
All right, thank you everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you. We'll see you next time on History Dweebs.
Good day, listeners.
Bye bye. Bye everyone.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.